The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When Catherine and I, along with so many of our friends, worked at Lutheridge during our summers in college, we never quite knew what to expect the next week. The process was that each week counselors would be sent to a different area, and so over the course of the summer they'd get to work in different settings and with kids of all ages, and about an hour before the campers arrived, you started to learn a little bit about them. You got the sheet of paper with basic information, their names and any medical issues and any of those things they needed to know. You got to see where they were from, and you also got to see if they had requested a roommate for the week. And so as I entered a cabin full of fourth and fifth graders and prepared for the week, I had seen that I had seven boys that week, that I had three who were coming on their own, and two sets of roommates who had requested to be together. Wouldn't you know that as the hour arrived and for campers to arrive, that out of one van got out all two of those sets of roommates. And those four kids had figured out a way to match each other's names so that they could all be in one cabin. This wasn't two kids who knew each other, but rather four. And this was their third summer of coming to camp together. And they made sure that even before their moms had signed them in, that I knew that. And so they went into the cabin and with military precision chose their bunks and cubbies, knowing exactly what they had to do to get the top bunks. Well, over the next hour, those other three boys arrived. Not so eager to go to camp, unwilling of what was going to happen. It was a first time for all of them. And one of them was coming from unique circumstances in his life where it was hard for him to even pack his bags, much less come. And so you can imagine what a challenge it was from that first moment when those four boys knew everything and what we were going to do and what songs we were going to sing and what games we would play and what was the best trail to get to the dining hall and all of this. They knew it. They had that permission and sense of ownership. It was theirs. They'd been there and done that. And for the other three, I could already see on their faces fear and concern as they felt left out, as they didn't get the inside jokes, and as they longed to be anywhere but where those boys knew more. And I watched that over a day or two, and I began to see that challenge. Those who knew it all, those who had that permission, those who felt like it was theirs, and those who didn't. I wonder if that week of camp was much like the first century church. In the text we find from Acts here today that Art read just a moment ago. Now, as I've been telling you every week in the pulpit in the Easter season, we replace the first lesson Old Testament passage with the story from the book of Acts. Because that is the story of the early church. It is the story of God's people being brought together by disciples who became apostles and others who would be called in to lead the church and to help the church grow. And that thousands would come and gather in faith and be baptized and know the word of God. And so today, on this day, in this text, it's much like those first days at camp. Because here you have the circumcised, Translation, here you have God's chosen people, people of Abraham who have been led out of the wilderness and out of slavery and through the promised land and through exile. And they have always belonged to God. They are Jews. They are God's people. They have kept kosher. They know everything and how to do it right and what to whisper and when to say it. They get it. They're the insiders. But then all of a sudden on this day, as these Hebrews, as these Jews have started to follow Jesus and become baptized, as they do this in Peter's presence by the thousands, then you have on this day Gentiles show up. Gentiles is code word for those who weren't part of the in crowd. It is a broad word and used often in the book of Matthew to describe anybody not Jewish. And the Gentiles show up. And the Holy Spirit is in them too. And they have felt the word of God and they long to be together. Just like camp. The Hebrews know the proper way of doing things and they know the passages to recite and they know all that. But these Gentiles coming from places far and wide, all they've been is filled with the Holy Spirit. How do they belong to that? And Peter, guided by the Holy Spirit, asked that question. Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And in that moment, Peter acknowledges that the Gentiles, those who haven't lived kosher, those who haven't played by the rules, those who don't know Scripture by heart, belong at the table as much as they do. And so in that moment, he orders them baptized in the name of Christ, and together Gentiles and Hebrews alike stay together for days and grow in faith together. And that's what happened that week. Nobody was going home. These three kids had to be in union in concert with these other four who knew it all. And so we worked hard throughout the week to get them to integrate and to split up those four boys so that they'd be on opposite teams when it came to things and just letting them grow. But it was hard. It was challenging. It took all week to get them to realize that they weren't four and three individuals, but rather seven together in one body of Christ. And over 2,000 years, it has been even harder for the church to recognize that we are one body of Christ. Look around this morning. The body of Christ in this place is missing people who may be gathered in other places or who may not feel welcomed anywhere at all. For there are more Gentiles in the world today than there ever were in Peter's time. There are more people who don't look or talk or act like us, but who also know the power of the Holy Spirit and should be invited to the table and to be among us in that same way. That's the challenge of sin and brokenness in the world. And Dr. King said that the most segregated hour in America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. That we all find ourselves gathering together with familiarity and not realizing the beauty and bountifulness of the body of Christ together. And we struggle with that. We struggle when we see the Gentiles in our lives, those who aren't like us. We struggle when we recognize that we are still broken and that no matter how hard we try, there are times in our lives where we just have a hard time connecting. Is our struggle to connect with those who don't look or speak the same language as us? Is our struggle to connect with those who don't share the same gender identity or orientation that we do? Is our struggle to connect with those who haven't attained the same level of education or economic wealth that we have? Is our struggle to connect with those who just seem different or weird or don't fit in our neighborhood, in our office, or in our schools? Friends, if we are really honest with ourselves, all of us struggle to connect with somebody. All of us struggle to connect with others in our lives. And there are so many who are lonely and who are absent from the table. A beautiful thing took place here last night as volunteers from our community opened the door and through the Shepherd Center invited in individuals who are alone, who have grown in age and who may have only the TV as their company. And they were invited to come and have a meal with real tablecloths and to have their drinks poured for them and a feast prepared. As a simple reminder of God's love and that God works in us. Now, it would be very easy for your preacher up front to say, we know who it is we struggle with. We know who it is that we have a hard time connecting with in our lives. But Jesus said, go love our neighbor, and that's the end of that. But the problem is we turn back again and again to show up to worship, to begin with confession and say, God, I've let us down once again, and I failed to fully love my neighbor. But that's why this passage that Jesus spoke in the 15th chapter of John is so important. Because when Jesus gives us that new commandment to love one another as he has loved us, the most important words are those last ones. That invitation to abide in me as I abide in the Father. When Jesus says that word abide, it's meno in Greek, M-E-N-O. And abide means not just to be with, but it means to be wrapped around, to be held onto. And that, my friends, is what Jesus does to us. And so when we abide in Jesus, and it is his love that envelopes and holds on to us, then that is the love that we go out into the world sharing. At those times and places where we feel like we don't have it, God does. Because you see, one of the challenges of the human condition is that we have limits. We have a capacity. We only have so much time and money and energy and resources to share. And so we determine how are we going to spend that and who is it worth placing our attention and energy and resources on. We reach our limits. We have a capacity. But the love of God in Christ Jesus has no capacity. That's the gift of the Easter story, that when Jesus died and rose again for us to claim victory for us in the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, that doesn't just extend to those of us here at Augsburg or who are Lutheran or who have kept the same words that they have. Rather, that belongs to all who share the Holy Spirit and all those who've yet to hear it, because the capacity of Jesus' love is never ending. It is abundant. It is a cup that runneth over. It is a font that always floweth. And so when we struggle with our capacity in our lives and we don't feel like we have enough to share, when we feel like we just can't love that person because there's too many levels of Gentile between them and us, then that's when we abide. That's when we let Jesus wrap around us, meno, to go out into the world and to love on behalf of Jesus instead of anything that we can do. That abiding in us may set us free to recognize that there are no boundaries in the world. There is no east or west, north or south. In Christ there is love, genuine, God-given, grace-filled love, meno. And when we abide in that, when we live in that, then we get to go share that with the world, starting here and everywhere that we go. By the last night of camp, as we sat together at the campfire skits, I noticed that the four boys who had come in the van together were each separated by one of those other three boys. And finally, after a long week, they were all one. They were all together. They were all whispering the same jokes and singing the same songs and doing all the things that fifth grade boys do. And they were doing it together. And that gift of hope is something that we leave here with too, that it takes a while and that it takes prodding and that it takes people in our lives to push us. But God is with us and God abides in us. And God sent those kids forth from camp in new relationship, and God sends us forth into the world to form those as well. Abide, meno in God, and then go share it with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.